last week, we were discussing the question about the Sefer Shabbos impacts in Ochus Nida. So the Ramak wrote two opinions. The woman has already been Shlach, already been Kabbal Shabbos, and now she forgot to do Hefsek Tara, because she do Hefsek Tara at that point. So there was one opinion that said, no, it's too late. Once you have a Kabbal Shabbos, it's ready to be the next Halach day. That would be tantamount to doing Hefsek Tara after Shkia. And the Ramak wrote others who disagreed, and the Ramak was making Mikra Din. The evidence, at least, the Ramah was making. We said that the proper practice is that we do tell the women to do Hefsek Tara before they ben shlach, but that's like a chiv. But the evidence, even after the ben shlach, that would be acceptable. What exactly is the issue? So we mentioned that it seems to be more of a global issue as to what exactly the Sefer Shabbos can or cannot do. Tosfos in Masechet Pesachim, Rav Tzadi Tess, we quoted last week, quote two opinions about whether a person can eat Suda Shabbos at a time of Tosefer Shabbos. A person makes an early Shabbos in the summertime. If they want to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda, is that acceptable or not? So one opinion says Tosfos, it's yes, one opinion says no. What's the Shilas? What's usually explained, the Machlokes is what exactly is Tosefer Shabbos. Does Tosefer Shabbos mean that it's fundamentally Friday, but there's an Issa Malacha? I mean, you can accept upon yourself, and you should accept upon yourself, you're obligated according to many, to accept upon yourself a prohibition of Malacha. You have to begin the Issa Malacha before Shabbos starts. But in terms of, has the day been transformed? There's no transformation today. It's Friday. It's Friday with the Nisim Malacha. What do I say now? Do I say that the Sefer Shabbos is not Friday? Sefer Shabbos means Mama Shabbos. It means they have the ability and the obligation to transform, to turn Friday afternoon into Shabbos. If they say, turn Friday night into Shabbos, and turn Friday afternoon into Shabbos. If the Mama is transformed and endowed the Friday afternoon with Kiddush Shabbos, the Choldomer. So if you hold that the Sefer Shabbos is only a Din Malacha, obviously you can't fulfill Tzuda. If you hold it to Sefer Shabbos as a din in transformation of the days, then you can perform the Suda. Should there be a riot for this? The Gemara from the fourth prayer of Bracha says you can make Kiddush during the Sefer Shabbos. So that may be an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes that Kiddush doesn't have to be said on Shabbos itself, because the Torah says, Zochus Yom Shabbos, Zakatra, Zachor B'chmisaso. The mitzvah of Kiddush is not on Shabbos. The mitzvah of Kiddush is as Shabbos is beginning. So either it's about to begin, or it has already begun. As long as you have a Kaddish as a Shabbos, but Tchilas a Shabbos, but Knis a Shabbos, that's good enough for the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the Mechayim of Kiddush is Knis a Shabbos, a little before, a little after. The Mechayim of Suda Shabbos is Yom HaShabbos. You have to eat Suda on Yom itself. So it's possible to say that Kiddush or Yaitzei, maybe on Yom, or a Suda, maybe not Yaitzei. So that machlokes, if you're
going to say in Kiddush El
Malchus, oh, that's not a kash. So what I'm thinking is Malchus. So one could argue that the Rashbam quotes one opinion that says, why is it in Kiddush Malchus? Where did that principle come from? So the Rashbam puts two understandings. That one opinion is because the Shabbos Oneg, there has to be a connection between the Kriya and the Oneg. And the other opinion the Rashbam says is because Chazal wanted that the Kiddush should be on Yayin Choshev. Yayin Misoch HaSuda is Yayin Choshev. Yayin in the middle of nowhere is not a Yayin Choshev. So if you hold like the first reason that you need Kriya B'Makom Oneg, so then L'chori you need a Kiddush B'Makom Suda Shabbos. Because if you hold like the second reason, you don't have a Kiddush B'Makom Suda Shabbos. As long as you have a Kiddush B'Makom Suda, it's a Suda. So even though it's not a Suda Shabbos, it's a Suda Friday, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a Kiddush in the context of a meal, of a physical meal, even though it's not a Halachic Suda Shabbos. So anyway, getting back to this story. So L'chori, this issue with 2 days on Tosfos, and this should impact the Luchas Nida, that if you hold that Tosefer Shabbos doesn't impact on the day itself, it's still Friday, so then it should be okay to make Hefsek Tara even after Kabbal Shabbos. If you hold that it's Mamash a new day, so then that should be a problem. It should be impossible to do Hefsek Tara after Kabbal Shabbos. How do we pass that halacha? So we seem to split the psak here, because when it comes to Suda, so the Shabbos says that we hold the Ikra Din is, you're allowed to eat the Suda, we do it all the time. We have a Shabbos, we're in the summer. People eat the Suda, the Yotzi Suda Shabbos, you know, it's not yet dark. Mishabura quotes it, there's a proper practice to eat a Kazai's Chal at the end of the meal. When you're all done, at the end of the meal, right to the bench, you just take another piece of Chal in deference to the other opinion. That's Achum Melechet Chil. We pass that the Sefer Shabbos changes the day, Mamash. If it changes the day, so that should impact negatively on Uchaz Nida. So that should prevent you from being able to have Hefsek Tara after the Sefer Shabbos, which is not the way we paskin. We paskin the Ramos Megal Luchas Nida. So how can we take the cools of both? We're Megal Luchas Shabbos, eat the Suda Mabiyo Yom, because we're assuming that the Sefer changes the day, and then we'll turn around and we're Megal Luchas Nida, but the Yemen, you can still do Hefsek Tara after Kabbal Shabbos. So the Pesach can point out the answer is that's not the same. But there are different degrees of transforming the day. What it means is that the day is transformed for all purposes of Kedushas Vav, all dinim that relate to Kedushas Hayom. The Torah gives us the ability to make it into Shabbos, but it's not the end of the physical day. So Kol Zman that I'm dealing with, Shabbos Shailas, Kiddush, and Suda, Simcha, whatever other details of Shabbos and Chos Yontif, so the day has started with the Odeo. Anytime you're dealing with other areas of Halacha, all those other dinim, so it's still considered to be Friday. The Chara proof positive is for Kriya Shema. We pass in Halacha that if you make Shabbos real, you still have to repeat Kriya Shema. Why do you have to repeat Kriya Shema? It's already the next day. And the answer is it's the next day for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for things like that nature. But for other mitzvah Torah, it's not the next day. So therefore, and the Pesach of Shabbos vis-a-vis Sudas stands. You can still be Yetzir Suda maybe on the Yom, because it is. And the Pesach of Chazdita stands also. You could still do Efsik Tara after the Bench Lech. So therefore, the Chachilu, we instruct the women to do Efsik Tara before the Bench Lech, but the Yabit, it's okay after the Bench Lech. And the Moch, even the Chachilu, I think you can put in right before Shkia, otherwise you're going to keep it in for an hour and a half, it's going to be too long. So you can put the Moch in right before Shkia, because the whole Moch is a minig anyway. For that, you could rely on the Ikra Din, that the Sephis, you could still do Efsik Tara afterwards.
So then, so it's not the, you see, you have to do the Efsik Tara after dark.
No, but Henry, you have to do it before dark. You have to get the Hefsek Tara before you. The Moch has to stay in till after dark.
The
original Hefsek Tara has to be done before Shkia, and then the Moch has to stay in from Shkia before Shkia till after dark. So we're continuing in terms of defining days for Shemitah. It sounds like, what's the big deal? A day is a day. So not so simple. Not so partial what a day is. So now there's a fascinating Shaila, very modern day Shaila. Fourth of the Rambam Kavu, we're not going to read. It's a long piece from Rabbi Yosef Shofar. It was got a lot of time today, 2.5 pages. We can read it through. But the Shaila is, if you just read the Shaila for a second, Isha Shefsika, it's on page 8. Isha Shefsika, Tara of the America, the Nosol Eretz Yisrael, in Tzricha Lahamtin, the Litvo Belel Shemini, the Sfirasa, Achia Vade Laila of America. A woman does Esek Tara in America. And sometimes during the course of Shemitah Kippur, day 5, she's flying to Eretz Yisrael. So if you just do the math, when she arrives to Eretz Yisrael, so she loses, or gains, whatever you want to call it, she gains 7 hours. She goes 7 hours ahead as you're flying further east. And now when she arrives in Eretz Yisrael, so when it comes to the night after the 7 days, she's all ready to go to the mikvah. So she's ready to go to the mikvah right after dark. It's 8 o'clock at night. And I think, wait a second, it's not after dark yet. It's after dark where she is, but it's not after dark in America. According to the calculations of America, it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon, wait a second, she's going to the mikvah before the 7 days are up. So this touches on a major question. How do you calculate 7 days? A 7 days calculated according to the halachic area, location where you are right now. I've seen 7 sunsets. One was like Yaakov Avinu sunset. Sunset a little bit early for me. So I've seen 7 sunsets. So now I've been Yotzei Shivas Yavim. What do I say? No. I haven't seen 7 the Ace. The Ace says I haven't seen 7 full 24-hour units because I cheated and went the other direction. So what would the din be? Does that impact the fact that you're flying in the flying east? Does that impact on the Shemitah Kiyum insisting that you wait another 7 hours before you're able to go to the mikvah? So that was the shah that was posed about it. The earlier post came up with Avad Yosef is a long piece about this. In the end of the day is Mekel. In the end of the day, the Minigoylam is pretty much to be Mekel in the Shiloh. That's a fascinating lumdus what the issue is. So why was some poskim weary about this? Some poskim were machmir about this. So we know that when it comes to Shabbos and to Yom Tov, this is a non-starter. Nobody ever says that, well, I lived in America last Shabbos, so now I arrive in Eretz Yisrael today, I have to keep Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael like I did in America. I have to keep the extra, I have to start 7 hours later, and 7 hours later, that's a joke, that's a litzanus. Shabbos and Yom Tov are always determined by the location where you are. That's like davar poshut adnoid. If you don't say that, it's mamash litzanus. I said, everyone keeps Shabbos the way Eretz Yisrael keeps Shabbos. No one ever said such a thing. The Radvaz writes in a tshuva, he said, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone always knew. Not everyone was in the same time zone. Jews lived in Bavel, Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the times are not exactly the same. You go a little bit further east, further west, the times are not exactly the same. The Shabbos should be determined by any other location or the place that you are. So the Radbaz says he thinks that that halacha is alluded to in the phrase Shabbos Yilash Shabbos Shvesecha. And the Torah says you observe Shabbos B'chomo Shabbos. So B'chomo Shabbos means each and every place you are. It doesn't matter where you came from, where you're going, wherever it is now, that's where you keep Shabbos. So why should anybody think that a chaznida is different? So some charanim wanted to say, well, it's based on the phrase v'safra Allah, the atzma, that v'safra Allah is a personal count, that each and every woman is counting the Rosh Hashanah. One woman's up to day 3, one woman's up to day 5, one woman's up to day 1. Shivan Akiyam is not a universal thing. Shivan Akiyam, it depends on the person. So if Shivan Akiyam counts, it depends on the person. So then, maybe you follow your count, and if your count is a few hours short, so then that's not acceptable. So other Achareim said, whoever is such a drasha. The Gemara is a drashing subas, v'safra lo yatzma, that doesn't mean that. V'safra lo yatzma means that a woman counts Shivan Akiyam, and she doesn't have to have anybody supervising, she doesn't have anybody being made, no one has to testify that she counts Shivan Akiyam. She doesn't need the husband to check up on her. She comes at the end of the week and says, I count the Shivan Akiyam, and then repeats, I went to the big pension. That was the machlekes of Yisrael. Is that the source for Eidechon of Yisrael? Tosfos writes in Gittin that the Sefer Aliyatz was the source that Eidechon is believed to say the food's kosher, etc. All of the Nemanos of Eidechon is based on that also. But the Sefer Aliyatz was nothing to do with location. It means the Sefer Aliyatz means that you're believed to count in yourself. What location do you follow? You follow wherever you are. So if you've seen 7 days have passed, 7 nights have passed, 7 shkias have passed, 7 sunsets have passed, so you're ready to go to the mikvah. That's the pash, this hadavar. So there are some Acharonim who disagreed, and some Acharonim are a little bit nervous about this, so they came up with a fascinating compromise. So Rabbi Avadia quotes by Arichos, an interesting compromise. That some poskim said, we're not 100% sure who's right in this machlokes, so we're going to split the psak in the following way. We mentioned in the past that Min HaTorah, once a woman finishes counting Shivan Akiyam, she could technically go to the mikvah. When does she technically finish counting Shivan Akiyam? So she finishes in the morning of the 7th day. In the 7th day in the morning. So Miktas Yom Kekulo kicks in. Part of the day counts as the entire day. So Min HaTorah, she can go to the mikvah right now. Min the Rabbanon, the very last sugyas in the Sechus, need to say that the Chacham did away with that practice of a woman going to the mikvah during the day. Why is that? Because they were afraid that if she goes to the mikvah during the day of the 7th, and she'll be with her husband that day, Min HaTorah, she's allowed to be with her husband. So go to the mikvah 8 o'clock in the morning. She'll be with her husband at 11 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she may start to bleed again. So what? She starts to bleed. Since it's still the 7th day of Shivan Akiyam, that bleeding will unravel the entire count of Shivan Akiyam. It'll be Seisel Mafreya. Normally, let's say a woman goes to the mikvah, and then 3 days later she starts to bleed. So she becomes Asura from that point on. You don't become Asura retroactively. But this is the one case where you can become Asura Minatora retroactively. But since it's still on the last day of Shivan Akiyam, the 7th day is still totally omed, it still has to be a Yom Nochi. It turns out that there's bleeding on the 7th day. It turns out the whole 7th day was no good, which in fact declares that the whole 7 days was no good, and the whole Tevila was Levatala. The woman is still a Zavan, still a Sakaris. So the Gemara says it's very, very risky. Min HaTorah, she's Mutares, but do your own risk, it's your own gamble. So Chazal said don't do it. Chazal said it's too risky. Shevetir v'tistar. So that was the first Gezer of the Rabbanim. The first they said that if a woman goes to the mikvah on the 7th day, in the morning, don't be with your husband until night. When it gets dark, that's already the end of Shivan Akiyam. If she sees at that point, then she only becomes a surah from here on in. So the first gezeirah of the Rabbanon was, don't be with your husband on the 7th day. Then they said, not only don't be with your husband on the 7th day, don't even go to the mikvah on the 7th day, which makes a lot of sense. If they nip the problem in the bud, if they tell the woman, don't go to the mikvah, then obviously she's not going to be with her husband. So part of the gezeirah, to make the gezeirah stand, they said, not only don't be with your husband, don't even go to the mikvah in the first place. So that's the din midi rabban, that's the din that appears at the end of Maseches Nida. Then the Gemara says, what about if she's going to the mikvah on the 8th day? If she's going on the 8th day, so what could possibly go wrong? So it should be mutlach achilas. The Gemara says, you're right, it should be. But midi rabban, the midi gezeirah, mishum srach bita. They're afraid that if women get into the habit of going to the mikvah in the daytime, her daughter is going to notice the mother's going to the mikvah in the daytime. The daughter's not going to realize, she's not going to chop that it's the 8th day already. When she gets married, she's going to remember, my mother used to go to the mikvah in the daytime, I'm going to go in the daytime, not knowing that she's going on the 7th day, which is going to set the whole problem into motion. So in one fell swoop, Chazal said, no mikvahs in the 7th day, no mikvah in the 8th day, no mikvah in the B'yod Yom. Since the whole thing was only midi Rabbanon, and it was all geared towards preventing them from being together, so there may be certain very, very extenuating circumstances of kulas, which can hopefully we talk about achas tevila. Once a year, when we get to it, so we'll discuss this a little bit more. What possible kulas were there? But this is all midrabban. All chumras midrabban. Min haTorah, she can go to the mikvah mamish in the morning as well. So some acharonim came for the following etzah. When, let's say, a woman flew from America to Eretz Yisrael, the middle of Shemitah. So now it's the night of the Matzah, the seventh day. So she's about to go to the mikvah. She has an appointment scheduled 8 o'clock at night. Shkia was 7 o'clock. She's going to go 8 o'clock at night, and then Yerushalayim, she's going to the mikvah. All of a sudden, she thinks, Kaval, how can I go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock at night? It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon in America. So most Echorim say, who cares? But those Echorim say that we do care, say, okay, and what's so terrible? If you go to the mikvah at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in America, then that Torah's good anyway. So some Echorim are right. We'll go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. That's okay. You're just worried about the din midrabban of not going to the mikvah b'yod yom. For that din midrabban, you can rely on the fact that it's already Eretz Yisrael. It's already the night. It would be a shot with their eyes, then we would be nervous, maybe we suffer all the atzma, maybe the shimikim or not. The whole thing is only a churma midrabban anyway. Go to the mikveh 8 o'clock at night, which is anyway 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. But don't be with your husband yet. Don't be with your husband until when? Until you do the mikveh. You have to wait your two watches. So when it says on your watch, New York time, after dark, then you can be with the husband. So you go to the mikveh 8 o'clock, and then wait till 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, when it's 8 o'clock at night in America, then you can be together with your husband. So those Acharonim who were nervous a little bit for the Sofa Liatzma story, so vis-a-vis going to the mikveh, they weren't so nervous. But vis-a-vis being with your husband, they were nervous. So he quotes from some of the Chassidish post about such an idea, and we're going to split the psak. So there are three versions in the post. What do you do with the women who fly to America during Shiva Nikim? So one version is they can't even go to the mikveh. You have to wait, mamish, till it's 8 o'clock at night in New York to go to the mikveh at 3 o'clock in the morning in Eretz Yisrael. Another Acharonim say the whole thing is not true. Another Acharonim say you go to the mikveh, but you can't be with your husband. Then they go, most people don't know the Shaila. But even with those people who know the Shaila, so if you take a look at the very end of the tenth and I was going to the Dunia pages, they write 4 lines to the bottom. Ve'ika lefiyan yizayit isha muta le'isha litfol, she can go to the mikvah, the shameh, she can be with the husband, the lel, shemini of the night, the 8th, lefiyah, ofak shem Eretz Yisrael, according to the time zones of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'mokam she nimtze shem and baila. The halacha is you follow where you are and you follow the time where you are, and the whole thing is not true. Not like those people who are machmir, to wait an extra 6 hours. In those days, there was only a 6 hour difference, depending on the time, depending on when the shalom kayats and eretz. It used to be in eretz as well, it used to be a long time when it was 6 hours, depending on when they would change the clock. But the bottom line is, some machmir, that lahashli mashin nechsa mashish, which is his legs. He says, I know b'shut tzalcha. Lamais, he says, the room, the post, he says, the whole thing is not true, and you don't have to wait at all. I think that's what Lamais said, that's what I think the people do.
If she found a spot that night, then those achorim that
are machmir, they would say they're not
in the law. Don't talk now.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't make a difference. If it's a kesem that's tummy, so it's going to make a tummy anyway, we can't have.
But during Nikim, aren't we machmir?
So those chumers only in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikim. So she wouldn't be so bad. Anyway, again, the whole thing is an interesting idea, but the myself thing is not really accepted.
Now, what happened? You know how they send the bride to the mikvah in the daytime?
Right.
So
right.
What if she didn't got married? So happened it was her seventh, not the tenth or anything. And then they had like a 12 o'clock brunch wedding, and then when they come over the summer, it's only 5 o'clock when everybody gets out of the wedding. It's light out till 8 o'clock.
I'll show you the following text. Actually, I usually don't quote my text after the last night's drasha. My cousin, a little Shia. And I'll go through a series of texts if I can find it. Okay, I think it'll be the other Irish Canadian. Hold on. Okay. Listen to the series of texts from a certain Rav called me. Okay, do you think that a kala can go to the mikveh during day 7? Question number 1. Also, is she allowed to go at night? So, my response was, better to wait until night, if can go on day 7, if wedding not during that day. So the question, what did I mean by
that? That's what I said, if it's a new wedding.
This is last week's text. What was the issue? The issue is as follows, that there are more rights that the whole chumrah of not going, the whole dindar of not going in the daytime doesn't make any sense for a kala. She's not married anyway. So what are you afraid of? She's going to the mikvah 2-3 days before weddings. What are you afraid of? She's going to be with a husband. She's not even have a husband yet. She's not married. So the whole concern doesn't apply. So she can go to the mikvah even enjoy the daytime. So the pashas advarim is that she can even go to the mikvah in the daytime, even on the seventh day, provided that the wedding's not going to be until the nighttime, right? So assuming the wedding's not that night, she can go to the mikvah. So the question, what does that mean, the wedding's not till that night? So some say the chuppah, the yichud room, she won't be with the husband, a lot of question details as to what exactly that means, that she won't be, the Ramah used the lashon, eina nechneses labayla ad shechashecha. So some are a little bit more machmir, that if it's mamish the seventh day, if it's like a later day, she's ready, up to day 9, and she wants to go maybe Od Yom, so that we're not so worried about. But it's mamish the seventh day itself, so we're more machmir, unless it's going to be in Nechnes Labayla. So there are sometimes the wedding is scheduled for 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you may have to delay a little bit. I remember once Sitton Rav told me that he never likes to delay chuppahs for anything, but he actually drayed around in order that the shouldn't get to the yichud room until dark, because he knew that this girl had gone to the mikvah maybe Od Yom. So again, this is all part of this story. So again,
and then you're taking a chance on the Yisrkari.
But lechatchila, if she already passed the 7 days, so then the minig is we let the kala go to the mikvah even lechatchila maybe Od Yom. If it's on the seventh day itself, we try to push it off until the night time. Right. If the wedding is going to be mamish that night, then we're mamish in a pickle. So at the end of the text was
not in a pickle if it's at night. It would be a new
wedding. So then he asked me a follow up. Thanks. He said, "Is there a reason not to go at night? Everyone knows kalas go by day. So he wants to know: is there a reason not to go for kala, not to go dafka at night?" So I wrote, "Not a halachic one. But it is more comfortable during day, as mikvah is empty and can get more attention from attendants." It means it's a practical thing. Why should you send a woman to a kala for the first time when there are 100 women there? Send to get a special private appointment with the mikvah attendant. It'll be much more. I mean, then he wants to know, thanks. That's what I thought. Maybe she can get the first appointment at night. So again, my job is not to coordinate mikvah schedules. Is Bein HaShmashas okay? And I forgot to answer back that last text. So she's still on, she's still waiting. She probably got married today. But is Ben Ashmash is okay? I forgot the answer. So the answer is Ben Ashmash is okay? He said, Machlokis. But the Ben Ashmash is okay. There's something there on the Kula. There's a famous boy from the Chacham Tzvi that it was a big problem he used to have. He still have an issue about the warm mikvahs on Friday night. Because you're not supposed to tovel and you're not supposed to wash in hot water on Shabbos. So some postman said the mikvah Friday night has to be cold. And that was always very, very uncomfortable. So the divinates, I get around that. So the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where he says, you can send a woman to the mikvah on Friday night, Ben HaShmashos. Why? Because it's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. So if it's, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Shabbos. So we'll let her go to the mikvah because maybe it's already dark. And we'll let her wash in the hot water because maybe it's still Friday. So she can go to the mikvah in hot water, Ben HaShmashos. So that's what I'm saying. It's a contradiction in terms. Either it's Friday or Shabbos. It can't be both. So if it's Friday vis-a-vis hot water, then it can't be Shabbos vis-a-vis going to the mikvah. That's a very, very difficult psalm. Anyway, getting back to our story. So the bottom line is we let the woman go to the mikvah and go be with the husband and everything according to the time where she is. And the whole chumrah, most poskim didn't seem to upset. There is another issue, a third issue in terms of defining days. We spoke about the Sefer Shabbos. We spoke about the flying. Now the third issue is one of our favorite topics, crossing the dateline. If the woman crosses the date line during Shemini Kiyum, how does that impact on Shemini Kiyum? So that becomes a real, real pickle, because it could be she lost the day. It could be that at the end of the day, no pun intended, she ended up with only 6 days of Shemini Kiyum. So what does she do with that? I remember once there was a woman who called me from Australia. She was a woman from America. But she called me that she was traveling in that part of the world. She was doing a time in Australia, and then she was in Australia, and came to New Zealand, then she was going to Hawaii, she came back to LA. She was logging a lot of miles in the course of 7 days. But at the end of the day, it was very, very confusing what her Shemini Kiyum were up to. So that's almost an unresolved question in the postgame about how do you calculate Shemini Kiyum when you're mamish losing days like Amri. So to make the matters even more complicated is that we're not even sure what the dateline is. We spoke about this many times in other contexts. Without getting into the details right now, but basically there are three shittas in the poskim. Where is the dateline? What is the halachic dateline? So the one camp was the Chazon Ish, who said that the dateline is basically 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. which cuts right smack in the middle of China, through a Korea area. So the Chazon Ish said, but he quotes from some Rishonim, we'll talk about it in line, and say, you can't split a land mass in the middle. You can't have it that on this side of the street, a Shabbos side of the street, it doesn't make any sense. So it must be that the halacha first goes 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, and then it hugs the coast, wherever the end of that coast is. So anything within that mainland is considered to be bottled to the Yerushalayim, to the Eretz Yisrael's bottom. Anything which is past the coastline, already part of the next Cheshbon. So what that means practically, Chazon draws you out a globe, he says what that means practically is that all of China is considered to be part of the Eretz Yisrael dateline, still part of the day, so it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos in China, Shabbos in that whole area, Shabbos in Siberia also, because that's all part of the same land mass. But says the Chazon Ish, it's not Shabbos in Japan, because Japan is an island, or it's not Shabbos in New Zealand, it's Shabbos in all of Australia, but it's not Shabbos in New Zealand, because New Zealand and Japan are islands off the coast of the continents. So therefore the Chazon Ish said that even though when it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos in New York, and Shabbos in China, Shabbos in Siberia, but it's still a day behind. It's still Friday in Japan, and it's still Friday in New Zealand, because it's an entire day behind, because you've already crossed the date line. So you're rather than being ahead of the date line, you're behind the date line. You have to wait a whole another 24 hours till Shabbos, which basically means that when in the secular world, the international world, so it's Sunday in Japan, it's Sunday in New Zealand, it's now Shabbos. So according to the Chazon Ish, when you're in Japan, so you have to observe Shabbos on Sunday. Saturday is Friday, and Sunday is Shabbos. Everything is Mamshe day, is a day late, according to the Chazon Ish. Others disagree with the Chazon Ish. Others say that the dateline is drawn 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is considered to be halfway in the globe, and that's 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, which puts it somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The only problem is that it throws a wire off kilter, because according to the other poskim, the Geshur Chaim and others disagree with the Chazon Ish, it turns out that Hawaii is still ahead rather than behind. According to the international dateline, it's already behind. You've already crossed the dateline, but according to those poskim, you haven't yet crossed the dateline, which means that Shabbos in Hawaii is what the secular world calls Friday. So that goes a whole balagan for those people who travel to Hawaii. So again, when it comes to Shabbos, you have to figure out how to be knowing different opinions. So according to the Chazon Ish, Japan and New Zealand are thrown off kilter. According to other poskim, so Hawaii is thrown off kilter. And then there's a third group of poskim who say, no, nobody's thrown off kilter, because the halacha is governed by the international dateline, whatever the Ummah Sa'olam, whatever the world views to be. And anytime you have these questionable areas, so Sheish Yom Tov, you count 6 days, and the seventh day, so whatever the Olam Tzgazak, we count it 6 days, and now the seventh day is Saturday, so that's the Shabbos, the Chol Dini HaTorah, that's also considered to be Shabbos. It's interesting that the count of 7 days is the only count that exists even for the ancient world that has absolutely no correspondence to anything in the sky. There's no astronomical correlation to anything about counting 6 days and being Mekadesh the seventh. All other counts that we have, the year corresponds to the Mahalach of the sun, the month obviously corresponds to the Mahalach of the moon, everything, a day corresponds to the rotation of the sun, the earth around the sun, everything corresponds to something real, something scientific, something astronomical. I was just reading this just a couple of weeks ago, reading some article that made this, it's double portion in a non-Jewish article, made this point of saying that out of all the counts that have been around, 24 hours for the day and 365 days for a year, whatever it is, every single thing corresponds to something astronomical. And the ancient world would figure out, if you look longer, you figure out how long a year is, figure out how long a day is, figure out how long a month is, everything corresponds. The only thing that doesn't correspond is the 7 day week. So I remember this article said, the 7 day week comes from the Jewish practice of observing the Sabbath. There's no other way to explain where it comes from. It comes from my separation. It makes no sense. When you have 7 days, when you have a 9 day week, you have a 5 day week, it makes no sense whatsoever. 7 days, the Rebbe shows the Kaddish Shabbos, and the Ummah Sa'olam picked up on it. So anyway, but now it makes it more complicated in terms of Shabbos. It doesn't correspond. You can't check and see what's it based on. So some people can say it's based on Sheish Yom Tavod, that 6 days, we've been counting 6 days from the days of Maaseh Bereishis. So when the first people started to come to Hawaii, so they continued their count of 6 days. And once the Ummah Sa'olam have accepted that the international dateline runs halfway through the Pacific Ocean, that's called the count. It becomes binding in halacha as well. It's a very, very difficult shita to accept, because we know for a fact that it's changed over the years. We know that Alaska changed teams. Before 1867, Alaska was part of Russia, so they used to be on one side of the date line. After they were purchased by America, so then they switched sides. They crossed the day off the off history because they wanted to be on the American side. Every once in a while, there are other places that change. So a couple of years ago, there was an island in the Pacific, that some independent island in the Pacific that decided that they didn't want to be on one side of the date line anymore. Why? Because up until then, they had been doing business with China. Now they want to do business with America. So whatever, it didn't work out logistically. So one day they decided that today is Tuesday. And then they told everybody, when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be Thursday. Just like that. They just bumped across the day. That's what the Pope did in the 1400s, 1500s or something, when the old calendar, the Julian calendar, wasn't right, that they realized that it was losing too many days, so they lost 11 days. So they kept on falling behind. It wasn't corresponding with the sun properly. So the Pope decided, we got to fix this whole thing up. So when they switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, you know, they just announced one day, it's not a co-courier from the Pope, that we hereby cancel the next 11 days of the calendar. It's going to be, it was February, February 19th, they said, tomorrow's March 1st. That's it, no more days anymore. So if you look in the Beis Yosef in the Siman about saying the same Talmud Mutar, so he quotes, when you're in Chutz Laaretz, you start saying the same Talmud Mutar, the Gemara says 60 days after the Tekufa, after the equinox of the fall, 60 days after Tekufa's Tishrei. So the Beis Yosef writes, what does that correspond to? So he gives you the Goyish name. He writes, the only time that I know Beis Yosef, he writes the Goyish month. He writes the name because it's not a Jewish thing. It doesn't depend on the Jewish calendar. It depends on the Goyish calendar, because the second calendar is a solar calendar. So he writes in the Beis Yosef, you begin saying the same Talmud Mutar on Nun Vav Mem November. He spells out the word November in Hebrew characters. On November 22nd, he said, whatever the date is. So that's when he starts saying the same Talmud Mutar. November 27th. You know, you say it in the beginning of December. The answer is the Beis Yosef lived before they changed the calendar. So they write in the notes in the bottom, Kodem Shishimus Aluach Shala Goyim. So that was November. So they started to say the same Talmud Mutar then. Anyway, getting back to the story.
We do the same thing when we change the clock. We say it's now.
Right, we also
in the morning, it's not one of them.
Right, it's a joke. Right, we make fully correct. That was even worse. Here they mamash cross days off. We just cross hours. They cross days off the calendar. So anyway, getting back to this story. So the bottom line is, we're not even sure when the date line is. We're not even sure what the din of crossing the date line. All Hilchos Neida is, I don't know. I can't be making this. I tell a few women who ask me the shayla, they tell me you have to wait an extra day. I don't know. I can't be a machareh of the shayla. Not clear in the poskim what the answer would be. Can a woman really go to the mikvah if she didn't really experience seven halachic/ sunsets? Can you let her go to the mikvah? I'm not sure. I remember once somebody called me. They were so tense. They were crossed the date line. They wanted to know what shish yom should they say. So much yesh yom, so that's like on the bottom of the list of significant shilas. I said I got much many more significant shilas. Anyway, so yes, up to now we've defined what the number days are. How do you define a day for the purposes of Shiva Nikiyim? And we know that you have to count 7 days, and you have to do bedikas during the 7 days, and you can't bleed during the 7 days. And according to some, you have to count the days prepared. You have to be cognizant of the 7 days. All the halachas of Shiva Nikiyim really permeate all 7 days. It doesn't seem to be any difference in the first day and the last day, or any days in between. So there is a little bit of a difference if it's B'dikas, maybe the B'dikas day one. The seven is more important, but by and large, the halachas of Shiva Nikiyim are across the board throughout the entire week. Nevertheless, we begin really at the beginning of the very next sugya, on the bottom of page 10, there is a Ramah that throws a monkey wrench into this discussion concerning the counting of Shiva Nikiyim in the following. It starts a new sugya, bottom page 10, Ksum of Shiva Nikiyim. How do, what Stephen referred to before, how do Ksum of play out, things play out in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim? So Rav writes, it's in the Kut Sarivav, Yesh Omer, those who say, the Bishloshi Yom Rishon Shal Shemei HaSvira, during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, the Matzah Kesem, Ein Tolom Asol HaKol, Kama Shetolom Shar Ksum. We know that if a woman finds a Kesem, let's say in the middle of the month, she finds a Kesem, and she has reason to believe, where she knows where the Kesem may have come from, she has either irritation in that area, let's say external irritation, or she cut herself somewhere in her leg or something, she finds a little bit of blood in the underwear, so she suspects, she has no for sure, but she suspects that it may have come from somewhere else. So there's a whole series of Mishnayos in the end of Maseches Nida about what's called Tlias, that can a woman assume that the blood most probably came from somewhere else. So So the Mishnah tells us the famous story about Rabbi Akiva. Once a woman came to Rabbi Akiva, and she brought a shat, she brought an underwear, she brought a bag at the Rabbi Akiva, and the Spanish asked him, what's the bin? My mutaris or asura? So Rabbi Akiva looked at it, and he said to her, do you have a makkah in that area? Do you have a wound in that area? So she said, no. So we said to her, did you at one time recently have a wound in that area? So she said, yeah, I did have one, but I thought it was healed. So he asked her, is it a kind of a wound that you've experienced in the past that you know sometimes opens again and may not have healed properly? So she said, it's possible. So Rekiva was mutar. Rekiva says she's mutar. So the Mishnah tells us that the Talmidim were looking on and they made like a funny face. They didn't understand what the Rebbe was doing. He was being so makil. So after the woman left, so Rebbe Akiva turned to the Talmid. The Mishnah says, and he says, what are you so concerned about? He said, the din is dam v'lokasam that min haTorah oksam mamutah. Min haTorah, there was no argosha. There was no sensation. There was no physical flow. There wasn't a flow. It wasn't a regular period. So there was no argosha. So min haTorah, it's mutar anyway. With the Rabbanon, it's asur. So there was a Gezeris Lacham called ksamim. So Rebbe Akiva says, la'am l'cham hadar l'hachmer l'hakel. That since the whole din of ksam was only instituted by the chachamim, they built in a leniency that you're allowed to be making whenever you have a tliya. So Rabbi Akiva was trying to extract information for her that it was a tliya. Let's say a woman says, I have no wound, I have no nothing, zero. So that's not a tliya, that's a leitonus. It has to be a bona fide tliya. So it has to be something, it doesn't have to be certain, it's not 100%, it has to be a realistic possibility. Tliyas change according to the time and place. We spoke about this in Chus Ksamim last year. Sometimes something was a tliya in the old days, it's not a tliya bizman hazeh. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Nida that if you live in a place where there are chazers walking around, there are pigs walking around, so if a woman all of a sudden she's walking in the street and she finds some dam on her outer clothing, so she can assume it probably came from the pig. The pigs were walking around; they were filthy. They rubbed against people in the street. They were dirty. They were bloody there. So she can assume the blood probably came from there. So the Rishonim write that's only Thomas Bisman. I don't know, but a person who lives in the Bronx. So there's the Bronx Zoo. So there are pigs in Grandson Park. The pigs in Grandson Park. Look cool. You don't have to be chashish v'ksam. That's like tonus. It only makes sense if you have pigs there and you're a person who walks in an area where the pigs are. So then it's possible that the pig may have touched you. Or the Mishnah says, "Avi b'shuk shal katzavim." If you went to the butcher, so then and now also you come back from the butcher and you find some blood on your skirt, so you can assume it came from the butcher. The olden days when the butcher's got a big piece of meat, there's blood splattering all over the place, and you're walking by, it could be some blood splatter on you. As a matter of fact, you go to Valley Express and you buy a packaged piece of chicken, so and then you find a kesem an hour later, that's not avi b'shuk shal tabachim. So you have to be careful. Only you can only apply tliyas when they make sense. So there are more quotes from we're not sure where it came from. You know, from Rishonim, not the Gemara, that during the first 3 days of Shiv Nikim, you shouldn't rely on any kulas, any tliyas. Why not? Because Shivimu Yom Rishonim Tzrichim Lias Nikim Lagamre. Because during the first 3 days, you have to be totally clean. For what's that based on? So the Rishonim explain tliyas have to make sense. What tliyas means is it's more likely that the blood came from somewhere else. So on day 5 of Shiv Nikiyam, she's probably not bleeding anymore. It's more likely it came from the butcher. On day 1, 2, and 3, we all know that most childbirths happen the first day or two of Shiv Nikiyam. That's when the woman is just ending and she's just barely counting. And sometimes there's some residue blood. So if she finds a little bit of blood on day 1 to say, oh no, it didn't come from her. It probably came from the butcher. Probably not. On day 7, if she finds a little bit of blood, it probably did come from the butcher. On day 1, I didn't come from the butcher, so therefore the whole tliya is on the mind. So hopefully that's Shem. Hopefully next week we'll try to elaborate upon this, how this halacha/minhag, whatever it is, plays out for us some real halacha myself.